Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hello and welcome to the Farm Traveler Podcast. I am your host, Trevor Williams, and today on the show, we are talking about something we have not covered before, and that is the process of growing flowers and pumpkins, which is super exciting. So flowers are a huge multi-billion dollar part of the agriculture industry, which I think gets often overlooked. I mean, flowers are beautiful ornamentals that you use for, you know, I mean, vases, flowers for gifts for loved ones and stuff like that. And also, you know, people use them for salads, which is very interesting, but that's definitely a thing. And then in the fall slash winter, pumpkins are super popular with pumpkin patches, of course, with Halloween and Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And so I'm super excited to chat with our guest today, which is Sarah Schaffner from Sweet Thistle Farms in California. So today, Sarah and I chat about her background, what got her started growing both pumpkins and flowers, and how she kind of ramps up for the fall and winter season when a lot of people want to go out to pumpkin patches, and kind of how she does that, how she has people come out to her farm and see what's going on. They can tour the pumpkins, pick pumpkins, and all that good stuff. And also how the whole flower side of things works. Like, if people can go out there and cut them, what kind of flowers she grows, what that looks like. Like, are you planting with seeds or cuttings or plugs, stuff like that. So it was really neat. I had no clue about a lot of the stuff Sarah was talking about because I've never really talked about growing flowers or even pumpkins, which I don't know if I asked her about this in the episode, but of course, when it comes to pumpkins, I always think about Pumpkin Chunkin', on Discovery Channel years ago, where, you know, I don't know if you ever watched this, but they would have these giant catapults and these giant cannons that would shoot pumpkins for, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of yards. So that might, I should have asked her about that, like if there are any pumpkins that have been sacrificed to Pumpkin Chunkin'. But we actually also had a cool little segment. I asked over on our Instagram page, I was like, hey, if you have any questions about growing flowers or pumpkins, let me know and I will ask Sarah. And we actually had a couple of people submit questions, which were super interesting. And I never thought about asking something like this. There are things like, how do you control mildew with pumpkins? What's the best way to market flowers for farmer markets? And then what is the best soil to grow pumpkins and flowers in? So Sarah's going to answer that and a bunch of other questions. So this is so fun. Be sure to check out Sarah on their Instagram page and on their website, which is Sweet Thistle Farms. And all of that will be linked in the description of this show. And you know, last week was Thanksgiving. So very thankful for everybody listening to this episode. We are now in the home stretch of 2021 in December. It is December 1st. And this is episode 131 with Sarah from Sweet Thistle Farms. I hope you enjoy this episode. I had a blast talking with her. And if you want to see more of our content, you know where to go. Go to thefarmtraveler.com. And always, as usual, check us out on Instagram and Facebook and enjoy the episode with Sarah. Okay, thanks. Enjoy it. All right, well, Sarah, welcome to the Farm Traveler Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's nice to be with you, Trevor.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to chat with you, learn more about pumpkins and flowers and all that good stuff for your operation. So kind of before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about you and kind of your background and how you got started with Sweet Thistle Farms.
All right. My name's Sarah Schaffner. I'm out here in California, grew up here, and Sweet Thistle Farms started in 2019. I found myself in the Central Valley. I got married and moved from Northern California down here, and I didn't have a lot of friends. I was working a desk job, which isn't really enjoyable to me, and wanted to be back outside or more on a farm setting. And so one of my girlfriends and I kind of got together and we're like, oh, let's start a flower farm. And so we did. And that's where Sweet Thistle kind of got its name, as I was sweet and she was a little bit of a thistle. And started growing cut flowers on her aunt's property in Clovis, California. And didn't exactly know what I was doing to some extent, but I have an agri background. I've grown a lot of stuff. I deep roots in agriculture here in California. And so I had an idea of what I was doing, but the scale, it's like, oh, when you think you're growing flowers, they think I have a really nice garden, like in my backyard.
Oh, yeah.
No, I have acres of flowers. This is a little bit different than your backyard, or they oftentimes refer to it as my garden. I'm like, oh, okay, this is more than a garden. We use tractors. And so that's kind of how we got started. We grew about an acre our first year in 2019. And started in February planting. We're in zone 9B. A lot of flower farming is done zone wise. And so I'm in a pretty warm zone. And then California, where we're at here in the Central Valley, gets extremely hot. So I grow flowers like zinnias, sunflowers, celosia, stuff that will last through the summer and can take 100 degree day heat pretty well. And then COVID kind of hit and our farmers markets shut down a little bit. And I created our farm stand, which was honestly two fruit bins, put it outside of our property. And that was a tremendous hit for us as well. And so I asked my husband if he would start growing some pumpkins, and he said, yeah. And so we had our first pumpkin patch that October. And we've had great success with both, like you pick flowers, our farm stand, but our pumpkin patch is our kind of, I don't want to say our bread and butter, but it is very successful because we have a true working farm. I'm on a goat dairy. And then I additionally there, so we have goat cheese that we make. We have the pumpkin patch and the flowers. And if you asked me if goat cheese and flowers and pumpkins went together, I'd probably say no, but they absolutely do.
So it seems like you'll have a little bit of everything there. That's so exciting. And I'm sure a lot of hard work.
Yeah, we do. So it's interesting. Fresno County is one of the top, when you look at it from like numbers, the top ag producer really kind of the world, even out of California. When you look at it, we produce a lot of stuff out of this county. And I think that my consumers forget about that. I'm about 10 minutes out of town. So Fresno is kind of about 1 million people. And so they have no idea. They put their cowboy boots on, Trevor, and they like think they are at a real farm. But it's funny to me. It makes me think back to just like humbles me a little bit to appreciate the land, the views, putting your hands in the earth, and you know when you plant the seed to watch it grow. That some people don't have that opportunity, and so I think that's also helped with some of our growth and where we've added things and not done certain things. We don't do weddings. If you look us up on Instagram, you'll be like, "It's beautiful. I want to get married there," and that's great. We have chickens and goats, and they smell, and we have emergencies sometimes that might be on your special day and would ruin it. So we're open on Saturdays during our growing season. And then in October, we open up a little bit more additionally to accommodate the pumpkin patch.
That's awesome. So are you guys most busy in the fall when people are wanting to, you know, go out, go to U-Pick operations, go to pumpkin patches and stuff like that?
Yeah, because the last couple of years we've had really bad wildfires that have hindered us a little bit. And then it's not pleasant to go out when it's 100 degrees at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that happens a lot here. By the time we really start growing the flowers and into April, May, June, it's pleasant then. But when you hit mid-June, even through August, it's warm. So we're open at 7 a.m. to 11 on Saturdays. And then this last year, I put in a air-conditioned farm stand that's essentially a cooler. And that took my flowers to the next level. So they'll last longer. If people come out, they can pick up goat cheese, flowers, other stuff that we offer. I do CSA boxes and whatnot. And so they can pick that up and it's not melting out in the hot sun. And then the fall, primarily why we're busy is because it's nice. You can tolerate the heat.
So what's the whole process of growing flowers? I mean, what's the season like? What is the whole planting and harvesting side of it? Because I've never really, really learned about that. So what's that whole process like?
Yeah, so I'll kind of start. Right now, we're taking down our flowers. And mine's a little bit skewed because we do pumpkins and we do Christmas trees. And so most flower farmers would already have their field cleaned up a little bit. I don't get to be that punctual because I focus on the pumpkins and go into the Christmas trees. But right now on the farm, we're cleaning up the last year's flowers and we did some seed collecting in the summer. We do try to save seeds and grow some of those. But I grow primarily from plugs. I do grow sunflowers and zinnias from seeds, but we order plugs from other farmers around the country here, and we take the plugs and we'll pop them in. And so I will work up the ground probably in January or February, because we typically are planted, we grow on 100-foot rows that are about 3 feet wide, and they're covered in like a landscape fabric. We burn holes, and then we just use our hands for the most part, some other tools, but poke the holes in and plug the plants in. It's all done by hand virtually, because we're in the middle of like, are you just going to be a flower farmer and grow acres of flowers and get larger equipment? Or is it a hobby and, you know, growing and growing boxes? And we're in the middle, I would say. I grow about 3 acres of flowers. And then we do about 25 acres of pumpkins. And so back to the flowers, once we get them, the seeds ordered, we get our shipments in because we order it all now. It'll start arriving to our farm. I think I have stuff coming in the second week of February. Depending on what the weather does, I have really heavy clay soils. I grow on two properties. I have heavy clay soils where sweet thistle is that the public comes in and you picks. And then behind my home, I have an acre there that I grow on that's more ideal. It's a perfect loam. So the flowers are kind of night and day, even though they're 20 minutes away from each other. So I can get in my backyard a little bit earlier because it's sandy a little bit and it drains better. If I get winter, kind of late thunderstorms, hail, we have to worry about hail in April here. So I try and plant a good third to a quarter of what I'm going to grow in February. And then starting like mid-March, I'm planting every week until July, successions of sunflowers, zinnias, kind of replicating what I've already put in. So it will last until we close the last day in October. So we'll open for you pick kind of June 1st and we close October 31st. And sunflowers are primarily our best selling, our most requested. People really enjoy sunflowers and you have to keep them going. we grow probably about 40 different varieties. They come from like white all the way to a dark chocolate kind of red almost dark, dark brown color that's really pretty. And they can be a single stem or a branching sunflower. And so I have to put a lot of thought in and mapping out like what we're pulling out and what we're putting back in and where we're doing it. There's a method to my madness while we're doing it, because they'll mm-hmm. shade out different things
in
the area. So, and sunflowers, we need to rotate. They don't, I don't plant them back to back in the same area. I'll move them over a couple rows. They suck up a lot of the nutrients out of the ground. And I try my best to keep the U-pick organic, not using really anything besides like Dawn dish soap for aphids. Mm-hmm. Because I'll get people out there that want edible flowers. And so that way I can let them take it home if they rinse it off. The pumpkins and the flowers at the house, this year was kind of opposite. I had the flowers at the house were my organic ones because it was a new field. When you have a new virgin field like that, your flowers are going to perform really well. Third year out at our sweet thistle U-pick ground, I needed to add some nutrients in to help them perform a little bit better this year. And the sun, we had awful heat, like 113 degree days for...
Oh, shoot. That's way too hot.
Yeah, for 5 days or so. So, and then it repeated again 2 weeks later. So just the flowers needed a little bit extra boost.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know of much that can survive very well for 113 degrees. That's a little wild.
No, that's not fun.
So, how about the pumpkin side of things? I mean, you're probably planting those out well in advance for the fall. So what's that whole process like?
Yeah, we finally have figured out what grows really well and what doesn't here, and what consumers want. And that's not necessarily what I want, because I love all the big, beautiful ones. But my husband takes care of most of the pumpkin farming, and we start planting Father's Day here, and we'll plant until the weekend after 4th of July. Okay. And, you know, you're planting your longer varieties at Father's Day, and your shorter ones by that weekend after the 4th of July. And we grow, I honestly think we grew about 14 different varieties this year. And that's anywhere from jack-o'-lanterns to your decorative, like Cinderella, fairy tale, porcelain doll type pumpkins. Our pumpkin business is made up of field trips and then people coming out to cut their own. So we're really timing the jack-o'-lantern ones for mm-hmm. October for the kids to come out and cut their own pumpkin. Our decorative ones I use heavily. We do porch decorating since we're so close to the urban area there that we go into town and drop off 20 pumpkins at people's front porches, businesses. And so our first year was a little rough on all levels. We really didn't know what we were doing at all and had some aphid infestation.
Oh, no.
Thank goodness. We our PCA came out, which their pest control advisor came out and helped my husband kind of figure out a plan on to attack it. But again, we're kind of small. We don't have like systems hooked up where you could flush it through your lines. We don't, our equipment, my husband farms citrus and vineyards. And so his equipment for that isn't set up for row crops. So we were a little bit limited on what we could do. And so we kind of just did the bare minimum to make it go through and then came back this year and improved our acreage tremendously. Had a good game plan before and were able to grow a lot more pumpkins than we did the previous year. And my husband keeps saying, I have about 20 pumpkins left. He's like, gosh, you did that perfect.
Oh, wow.
You know, how many to sell? I was like, no, I didn't at all. You don't know what people are going to do, but it just worked out that way that's all we have left. what we grew this year.
That's perfect. And I bet people love going and picking their own pumpkins, especially kids. You get to go see where the pumpkin's grown. You can pick them all. I mean, I bet that's really exciting.
Oh, it's tremendous. So, you know, we focus kind of on field trips for kindergarten to about second grade. Mm-hmm. They really enjoyed the life cycle of it, talking about, you know, I'm a seed, we get planted, we get pollinated by the bees, and then we grow vines out of us. And it's interesting because I've then we're known as like, oh, it's the pumpkin lady, and my husband is the pumpkin guy, pumpkin farmer. And so we also sell flowers at farmers markets, and so they're asking about the pumpkins and what's going on, what's next at Sweet Thistle, what, you know, we've evolved a little bit with like the pumpkins, and now I've decided, oh, I'm going to step back a little bit because I'm skipping around a little bit, but to go back to flowers, once you get them planted, then you have to cut them and harvest them and mm-hmm. Process them, I would say, to get them to your end users. And our end user is typically the consumer. So somebody that's buying it to put on their table. We do a little bit with some florists locally, some wedding designers, and then primarily the U-Pick. So I have Farmers Market and U-Pick are my main channels that I'm distributing my flowers, and the timing of that to make it last through farmer or make it so you have quantity or you can make pretty bouquets to get to market. Mm-hmm. And then keeping them cool. We added our cooler this year that was the game changer for us. And then, what do you do afterwards with them sometimes too? If it's a hot day at the market, people don't show up. We drop them off at some retirement centers, or I have a few people that, the cemetery, takes some to put out in certain places. So there's a couple places you can drop them off, but, that portion of it also evolved this last year of just figuring out what grows well, when, the timing. And so I really feel like next year will be our prime. so we've worked out a lot of the kinks in it.
That's not bad. I mean, that's kind of the struggle of, I mean, just starting a business. Like, you're trying to figure out what works for you, what doesn't, what the customers want, what they don't, and all that good stuff. So it's some good growing pains, but it seems like y'all are figuring it out pretty quickly.
We have. I'm a little bit blessed in the fact when I was at Chico State, I worked at a flower shop on the weekends. And so I have the design side skills. I did weddings for a number of years before I started the flower farm. And that element of like designing flowers, making bouquets and arrangements and doing weddings, I already had that in my toolbox. Mm-hmm. I get way more satisfaction of growing, like putting the seed in and watching it turn into something beautiful than arranging them. But that's part of it.
You're
always going to have to like learn and evolve. Farmers, like, I don't have a huge operation. I'm blessed that my husband's also a farmer, so he has cool toys that I get to play with. He'll buy something that he thinks is cool that will help us on the farm. And then we have, I have a part-time, like 15 hours a week gal that works with us too, to make the whole thing work. But it's a lot of work when you're planting, cutting, arranging, social media, like all the hats that you have to wear in business to make it work. And then to make it profitable to work as well. And so I think I'm pretty fortunate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've definitely got to be a jack of all trades. I mean, figure all this out and be successful.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not afraid to pivot. Some people like, oh, nope, I'm only going to grow flowers for a florist, or I'm only going to do it for farmers market, or, you know, what their capacity is. And I've been willing to move a little bit with it. I go to the farmers markets that I enjoy where the customers want to pick up a bouquet of flowers. And our farm stand is, it's easy. You don't have to really travel very much with it there. I would say something that else with flowers this, the past 2 years, mostly when the pandemic kind of set in, is the floral industry has really had some interesting moments, because most grocery store bouquets are imported. They are from another country.
Okay.
And based on the season, whether they're coming out of Australia, South Africa, Mexico, most floral flowers, though, roses out of Ecuador, just different countries, it's an imported item. And so local flowers and the movement of like slow flowers and local in general really has been at, kind of at the forefront. Like it's, they've shined with florists this last year where they weren't able to get, you know, white has been hard all of this year. I like white flowers, so I plant quite a few different varieties of that. But you have to think ahead, like what the trends are if you're working with that industry. And it's a little trickier because florists will want everything you have sometimes. They don't care about your UPIC or what you're doing with farmers market. And so I think that's been interesting as the industry as a whole, what I've followed with other flower farmers is the consumer kind of caring a little bit more, but the middle person, the flower brokers, the wholesalers of flowers, they're reaching out to the smaller local people as well. And I, you know, California, you can grow anything. There are 451 different things grow here. So it's fortunate for that. But flowers, you can do them in greenhouses. You can do so much. And so it's been really interesting to just watch across the country as something goes out of season here, it becomes in season in Colorado and somebody's hoop house that they're growing. And it's been tremendous as I've just education, you're just learning a little bit more about what other people are doing on their operations as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And so kind of speaking to that, we have some questions from some listeners, which I'm really excited. I put out a little question thing on Instagram. And so we have a couple of questions for you. They're about pumpkins and flowers. So the first one is from Shane. And Shane's wondering, what do you do to control mildew on pumpkins? So is that something that's pretty prevalent?
It is prevalent. We grow varieties that it's not as prevalent on.
Okay,
but gotcha. We use Dawn dish soap in a backpack sprayer that basically, it's a fancy backpack sprayer that has air that shoots through it. So the best way to describe it is basically we bought a backpack sprayer that's like an air blower. And so we'll put the Dawn dish soap in there and walk up and through and kind of get it up and under the leaves. You just have to stay on top of it. And gotcha. On a larger scale, you would use a boom sprayer and you can do the same thing, but still walk around ours.
I've used Dawn dish soap here, and that's primarily what I use for like pest control or any issues we're having in our garden. I mean, small garden, not a big operation or anything. So Dawn works wonders. Then there's another one from Hannah about flowers, and this was a very interesting question. What are some of the best ways to market flowers besides at a farmer's market?
So flowers in general, what I see a lot of is subscriptions. So I call it like a CSA, community supported agriculture subscription. And so a lot of people are doing subscriptions. There are ways in our world today that you can ship them. So you could be shipping your flowers to florist. There's a number of small flower farms now, roses maybe a little bit more than cut flowers, that are shipping their products. They're new as well, farmers, but the shipping is an aspect if you can get the logistics and figure that out. Reaching out to your wholesalers, if you're by an urban area, there's typically going to be a floral wholesaler that could pick up. and florist. I would say you kind of have three chains, and don't be afraid to go to your local grocery store and say, hi, I'm Hannah and I grow flowers, and they more than likely can maybe work with you on what your season availability is. And I guess that would be another key issue, is what is your availability list? Like making yourself an availability list of what you'll have, and sticking to kind of flower standards. They go by bunches, versus at a farmer's market, it's a bunch, but farmer's market, you could sell by the sim as well. So depending on what your market is, if you're trying to leave the farmer's market scene, I would do a membership kind of subscription and reach out to your wholesalers to buy it bulk from you, and then retail florist type stuff.
Gotcha. I really like the idea of subscriptions. I haven't heard of that before, and that's super fun. I know that's something my wife would love to have. I mean, just flowers showing up at your door every month or something. That's such a good idea. I like that.
Every week, Trevor.
Every week. I mean, that's even better. Yeah, every week. Every week.
Yeah, every other week. I do every other week.
Okay. So. That's pretty cool. And then our last question is from an account called Triple T Milling. They do like a lot of wood milling and stuff. I love watching them. So what kind of soil do pumpkins grow best in? You said you guys have sandy soil. So is that good for pumpkins or?
Yeah. So pumpkins are not very picky. They do well in our heavy clay out at our U-Pick farm, and they do better in a loam here. But water with your pumpkins, the water is your key ingredient. Okay. Because as they're developing as a seed, they need heavy water. But once they have started to push out their vines and they're spreading, they don't need as much water. So we cut it down about by half. So I think knowing your soil type and then watering appropriately is your best bet with pumpkins.
Okay, gotcha. So do y'all have like drip irrigation for the pumpkins, or what kind of watering setup do y'all have?
Pumpkins, we berry drip. It's okay, berry drip.
Okay.
Our first year we did it above. I don't recommend it. If you're smaller home gardeners, or if you have a little plot, that's great. But once you get past an acre or so, just bury it. That works the best.
That's smart. So when it comes to pumpkins, have y'all kind of kept a record of kind of like your biggest pumpkins? Because I know big pumpkins are always kind of a fun thing to have at like farmers markets or fairs or stuff like that. So what was kind of your biggest pumpkin so far?
We grow some Big Macs, and my husband's biggest Big Mac, I think it is 96 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Which isn't terribly huge, but with the high heats that we get here, it's decent. And then I grow a white, kind of a giant white one, and it's called Polar Bear. We get polar a lot of our pumpkin seeds from Johnny Seeds. And yeah, okay. The polar bear is literally, my husband just like laughs at me because I'll price them way too expensive because I'm emotionally attached to like them. Beautiful. I love them so much. And then I didn't weigh them, but they're a beautiful white pumpkin. And I've lifted some of them up. They have to be over 60 pounds, but they're stunning. They're a beautiful, beautiful pumpkin because you don't see giant white ones very often. And they grow really well in our clay soils.
That's cool. Yeah, you really only see like the big orange pumpkins. You don't see any pretty white pumpkins all that often.
Yeah, we're known at the beginning of the season. They go fast, but for some of our white ones.
I bet. Do you ever have any people that are like really big in the pumpkin carving go out there and try to find like the perfect pumpkin for them? Because I know that's like a big thing on like Food Network and stuff. Like we'll always watch shows and they'll have like these big or these perfect looking pumpkins that they do for that.
I haven't. I really probably need to reach out to our county fair because they at our county fair in Fresno is in October. I've seen it there, and you're right, on the Food Network. But I haven't had any customers come out for carving pumpkins to like that next level skill, or if they have, they haven't told me about it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I would say edible pumpkins. We grow Long Island cheese pumpkins, and they make a great pie. And the edible New York or Syracuse edition, they have a great pumpkin pie recipe. And so I've printed out that recipe, and people come to us for that particular pumpkin to make their Thanksgiving pies. I grow quite a few edible ones, the fairy tales, the Cinderellas, and then acorn butternut squash. So people really enjoy that as well.
That's cool. I mean, it sounds like you guys have such an awesome collection. And I'm looking at your Instagram right now, and it's so fun. I mean, you can see all the pumpkins, all the people that are there having such a blast, and like a bunch of little kids with the pumpkins, with the chickens. I mean, it seems like people really, really enjoy it.
They do. We have repeat customers now because we've been there for 2 to 3 years, and it's nice. It's nice to see families come out, and they'll drive by out by where we are, and they're, oh, the flowers, or oh, the pumpkins. We're getting back to Christmas tree stuff, and I was at an exercise class this morning, and they're like, oh my gosh, you have trees? What? Like, how did I not know that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you haven't been posting on, you know, they're giving me lectures on how to do my Instagram this morning, but I'm like, it's on there slowly. We're missing this holiday called Thanksgiving, and it's my favorite one. So I have like mental issues with when you can start announcing things, but yeah, we cater to families and let kids be kids. We're fenced, so really your kids can run around where we're at and hop on our tractors. The keys aren't in them, obviously, but pretend to be a kid, or like what kids should do is be able to run around and touch living things and find ladybugs and bumblebees and, you know, put their hands in the soil, or go pretend to be a dairy goat and walk through our creamery. We've gotten away from ag education sometimes, that vocational stuff, or we shame people for wanting to be a farmer. And I absolutely follow your dreams, but at the end of the day, we all eat a meal. And I think it's really critical to know where your food comes from, who's growing it, if you want to go to that level and have a connection to it. And I shine at showing people where it comes from and telling that story of, you know, what our farm is, but really general California agriculture as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I bet it's so cool just to have kids go out there, or even just, I guess, anybody really, they kind of see the aha moments where they're like, oh, actually, this is how that's grown, and this is how it works on a farm, and just stuff like that. I mean, it's such a cool opportunity to have people go out there, travel, and see you and see what's going on. I'm sure it's such a great positive and educational experience.
Yeah, I'll touch on one little story. We do summer camps in the summer that are a day camp, I'd say. And I let the kids plant pumpkins. And Seamus has rheumatoid arthritis. He's about 10 years old and wasn't sure if he was even going to make it because he had had some flare-ups and stuff, but he was able to come. And this kid just touched my heart. I just think the world of him. Well, his mother messaged me, we'll be at the pumpkin patch this weekend. Seamus wants to see his pumpkin. And I was like, oh gosh, like I hadn't really thought of it. And so I'm like running over, and sure enough, he had 4 beautiful pumpkins growing on it. So I kind of guarded it and hid it with other pumpkins around and was trying to like make it avoidable to make sure when he got out there that he could pick a pumpkin that he grew. And so Aww. It's just those little things that you do to reach back out or to show the kid the full cycle of, I planted that, I harvested it.
Oh yeah, that's so cool. That's such a fun story. And I'm sure that's something they'll remember for a long time too. That's awesome. And that's cool to have those little moments like that that turn out to be really big moments.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, Sarah, this has been awesome. So if people want to learn more, you guys have a beautiful Instagram page, which is just Sweet Thistle Farms. Where else can they go to kind of learn about you guys? And especially if they're in California, if they want to go visit y'all.
Yeah. So sweetthistlefarms.com. We have a website as well where you can learn about us a little bit. Instagram's probably our best way to kind of know what to day to day or what's happening that month. But the website, Instagram and Facebook are our main ways that you can get a hold of us. Check out what's going on.
Well, deal. Well, we'll link all that in the description. Sarah, it was a blast chatting with you. If I'm ever in California sometime soon and it's in the fall, you got flowers and pumpkins growing, I'm going to try to go out there. I mean, it'll be so fun to see.
Yeah, please check us out.
Deal. All right. Well, Sarah, thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you.